I hope you're having a good week. Thanks for being here. It's warm enough for you, isn't it, outside? It sure feels nice in here, and we're grateful for that. I'm going to be in Psalm 21 tonight. Excuse me, Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And I do, Mickey wanted me to remind you, too, about the picnic on Sunday evening. I think they may be calling for some rough weather, rainy weather. But if something like that comes up, we will let you know. But plan to be there. And we're going to have a great time. And I hope to walk away with a trophy this time. I almost did it last time. Randy and Nick whipped us. But anyway. Well, Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you for that song book in the Old Testament called the Book of Psalms. And I just pray that you would open this one up to us tonight, that it would be practical, encouraging, anointed, and that we would be strengthened by the power of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This phrase, "my help comes from the Lord," is found in Psalm 121. It's one of the psalms that's called a Song of Ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S. And it was called that because three times a year there were festivals, like required festivals, for people from around Israel to come to Jerusalem. You had Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were 15 of the Psalms that developed. Of course, this is from like David's time onward. And this, some think that many of these came during the years of the Babylonian captivity. But there's 15 of them from Psalm 119 to Psalm 134. And as these pilgrims made their way toward Jerusalem to worship at the temple, they had to go uphill to get there because it's in the hills. And as they made their way to worship, this is one of the psalms that as they caravaned together and traveled together, that they would be singing as they were headed to one of the festivals. And we're also told, some of the historical data tells us, that the Levite priest would often sing it as they ascended the 15 steps into the area of the temple that they could enter into. And so these would have been known widely to the people of Israel. And think about it. If you were going through trials or tough times, and you know now it's time to go to the holy city to meet with the people of God and to worship, and you're preparing your heart for that occasion, then they would sing these because these psalms were songs that were sung. Now, we don't have the musical notations that go with them. Sometimes the psalms, many of them written by David and others, may say this is to be sung by, and he would name the instruments, give you an idea of the flavor. But let's feel the weight of these words with this context that I've just shared with you. Say, head to Jerusalem. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Question. Answer. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, I could have took a stab of putting that to song, But I'll let Andrew do that when I finish. Just kidding. Unless you feel it. Okay? But isn't that a beautiful psalm? It really is. A very beautiful psalm. And let's break it down tonight, because this is tonight, Wednesday nights are times of teaching. So let's break these verses down. And the first thing I want to talk about is the what I'm calling the upward look of faith. Notice verse 1. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. So in my mind, so I can imagine these pilgrims making their way up to Jerusalem and maybe seeing those hills. I'm headed into these hills. Who's going to help me when I get there? My help comes from the Lord. And even the way it ends, like, you know, when you go in or when you come out, even when they left, possibly they would sing this at times as they looked at the hills to where they were headed beyond there. And it's still the same answer. It's my Lord. That's the good news, isn't it? Like the psalmist said in Psalm 139, whither can I flee, or where can I flee from your presence? And he goes through this list of the places, you know, the heavens above to the Sheol below. There's nowhere that you can escape the presence of God. And the good news is for believers, is not only can you escape God's presence, you can't escape His help. There's no place He can't reach His hand to help you, to deliver you, to protect you, to provide for you. So this is the upward look of faith. Even though he's seeing the hills, he's really seeing the Lord. And you might get that imagery by the fact that he says, my help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. The one who made these hills, he's the one that's going to help me. And I love the fact that he uses the Hebrew word there for made is the word asah. If you've been around Grace House long, you probably have heard me teach on the meaning of the Hebrew word asah. It's a very powerful meaning because it's the word, it means to create, to make, to do, to accomplish. And when it's in reference to God's word, it means whatever His word says, that word will have in it the power to bring forth what it's saying. If it, by His stripes I am healed, you declare that, you believe that, out of that truth comes healing. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Decreeing that, believing that, provision comes out of clinging to that word. And the hills can represent a lot of things. Sometimes it's a dangerous place. It could be a place where the thieves would hide and ambush it, the wild animals or the armies. Remember Elijah and his servant Saul, the armies surrounding the city in the hills. But then God opened the servant's eyes and they saw beyond the enemy and they saw beyond the hills and they saw the angelic host of God. Remember that? So this is a power-packed verse that reminds us, no matter what you're staring in the face, no matter what you're heading into, no matter what's before you, look beyond that, because your help's going to come from the one who made all that, the Lord, the heavens and the earth. Anything you face, God will be able to help you out. So the upward look of faith. Now let's move on to the next verse. And we'll see the declaration of God's creative power. Now, I just covered that. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's what I'm talking about. His creative power. We see that in verse 2. And again, use God's word in that way. It's powerful. The word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's called a hammer. It's called a fire. It's called a life-giving force. All of this, God's word is transformative. And so it's so important for us to declare God's truth when we're being pummeled by the devil's lies. It's so important to declare God's healing when we're battling physical sickness. It's so important to declare God's peace when we're being bombarded by confusion. So important to declare life and power when oppression is coming against you. declare joy when you're trying to be pulled down by circumstances. This is the Asah, the declaration of God's creative power. And that's what the psalmist does when he sees the hills. Hey, I'm looking beyond that to the one who made them, Asah'd them, brought them about. The third thing I want you to notice is the confidence of God's constant watch care. And we see this in verse 3. Notice verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Another translation of that word allow means permit. You know, there's just sometimes God will just step in and say, I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to permit this. How many of you know that he has the, even the devil on the leash, right? I mean, God has the final say. That's what capital G, capital O, capital D means, right? He has the final say. We're reminded in verse 1, he made the heavens, he made the earth, and in verse 2, that very one is the one who keeps your foot from being moved. That word moved, interesting word, because it has variances of meaning to be moved, like, you know, putting my foot down and you can't move it. It means to be shaken. Well, there's other scriptures that tell us that God, there's times when God will shake everything, right? But this word can mean I'll not be shaken. Now, if God wants to shake you, that's his prerogative. But if the devil wants to shake things up, then you look to the hills, the one who made heaven and earth, and you declare, you know, the devil may be coming against me, but I'm not going to be moved. I find my strength in the one who made the heavens and the earth. And there's times in the Hebrew this can be mean to be yoked to something. And so if you want to bring that element in, it's like, The Lord's not going to let me get yoked to something that's going to hurt me or to destroy me ultimately. Now, let's move. This is his constant watch care. That word watch care, by the way, I know early in my years of ministry, particularly in my Baptist years, you would hear that word a lot. Sometimes, and this is probably a seal to this message, but just the idea of watch care, someone would come from, quote, another denomination, and so they would invite them under the watch care of the church while they looked into everything. But the watch care means we'll watch out for you. We'll oversee you. We'll be there to help you. Well, this verse tells us, no, God's the one watching over us. And guess what? He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Another word for this slumber is to mean get drowsy. He's not going to get drowsy and start yawning on you. You know, he's not going to get distracted and forget about you. Because he's the one that keeps your foot from being moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now, this word keeps, we're going to see that in several places here, but it's the idea of guarding, like a watchman on a wall, like a night watchman for a security firm. That idea that God's on the lookout. He's observing your life. He's watching you with interest and with availability and with desire to help. Sorry, I'm making noises up here. And so it tells us about his heart toward us because he does this. Now, there's a difference between a prison guard, like the enemy wants to bind you and imprison you and hold you captive. And he wants to guard you, keep you away from anything holy, anything of God, any source of help, wants to discourage you, blind you, bind you, take you out, destroy you. He is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God, the idea here is God, no, he is guarding you to keep the enemy and all that stuff from touching you and coming into your life. And it's a beautiful idea. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have to worry about ever having troubles or trials or battles to fight, or hardship, or going through tough times, or, you know, it's not saying that. But what it is saying, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you will be able to see, say, God kept me from being moved. I'm still here. I'm moving forward. Things are all right. And if there comes a time, like Stephen, who was stoned to death, Stephen closed his eyes in the middle of a trial and opened them in the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was not a downgrade by any stretch of the imagination. He was moved to something more glorious. So that's the beauty of knowing Jesus, knowing you've been given the gift of eternal life. That's so important for us to understand. Now notice this in verse 4. I wanted to bring out the commitment of God to His people. Notice what it says. Behold, He who keeps Israel. There's that same word again. Now in the New King James Version, which I'm using here, which I typically use. Sometimes I may use the New Living Translation. But here you'll see, and we'll get into this. Well, I'll wait till the next point to get into that. But that word keep here in verse 4, again, it's the idea of guarding, of watching. But notice who he says, he keeps Israel. In other words, he is all his people, not just you individually. But how can God do that? I mean, how can he watch me and watch you at the same time? I mean, we're living in an age now through computer technology where at least visually and audibly, like, are we streaming tonight, Matt? Okay, we're online right now. The people aren't here, it's here. People can't see me like you're seeing me or seeing me through the camera. And so there's a sense of being present at different places. There's some of you who may be watching tonight. You may be watching this on a phone, sitting in your recliner, chewing some chips. You may be behind a desktop. You may be at a park, wherever, but you're not physically here, but yet you're connecting, receiving, and seeing and hearing, though you're not here. Now, man's been able to do that. Don't you, wouldn't you give God enough credit that he'd be smarter than the smartest man, right? If Google can be almost omnipresent, how much more can God? He doesn't even break a sweat doing this for the 7 billion people on the planet. He's amazing. He's all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. He is God. And he's committed to his people. He keeps and guards and watches over his people. And notice that it says, nextly, this is a bit the last one because it covers the remaining verses, it should be 5 through 8. I think that says 6. It should be 5 through 8. And notice these verses, this idea of keeper. We see it in verse 4 the first time. He who keeps, then in verse 4, he keeps you, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who keeps you, keeps Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. He's been saying, he who keeps you. Now he tells us to make sure we don't miss it. It's the Lord who is our keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Then he goes on to say, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you. Again, New King James Version. But in the Hebrew, it's the same word as has been translated keep above it. Maybe a little different grammatical emphasis on it, but it's the same root word, the idea of keeping. So I want to talk about the decree of the keeping power of God over our lives. He says it over. He keeps you. 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 The Lord is your keeper. And I love the things he goes through here. You don't have to worry about him falling asleep on you. He's your shade. This is the idea of a protective shadow. And, you know, I can see my shadow right here on this stage. There's a shadow. And this imagery here is like my shadow is following me around. When I move, it moves. What I do, it does. God's protection is covering me. It's with me. Whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm going, I can know that He is with me. And like to cover all the elements out there, the sun will not strike you by day. Boy, that's a good verse for right now, right? I mean, you can get a sunstroke too easily out there if you're not careful and you're not used to it. You get cooked like bacon if you're not careful. He said, the sun shall not strike you by day. And by the way, this was prior to the awesome, incredible blessing of HVAC, air conditioning. Nor the moon by night. How can the moon hurt you? Well, maybe the lack of light can cause you to stumble in darkness. And we know that a lot of the stuff that takes place that's not good happens at night, right? But you know, when you talk about the lunar light and the lunar cycles, and that's kind of where the word lunatic comes from. I remember the first church I pastored, and one of the deacons actually worked in a mental health facility. Had people there with all types of mental issues and problems. And he and I were having a discussion one day, and he had a pretty high up position. And I asked him, well, you know, is it difficult? Are the people difficult sometimes? And he said, well, yeah. I just said, well, is it worse at night than day? Well, yeah, sometimes they get stirred up more at night. He said, but whenever there's a full moon, he said, you can just mark it down. It's strange. It is bizarre how people are troubled and disturbed when there's a full moon. Maybe that explains sometimes when they're full moon, you just want to go out in the yard and howl, you know. But he says he keeps you. You won't be struck by the sun in the daytime nor the moon at night. That covers a lot of territory. Because one of those two are pretty much present anywhere you go on the face of the earth. He said, the Lord shall keep you or preserve you, and this is awesome, from all evil. God ultimately wins. Believing God, serving God, loving God, at the end of the day, you win. No matter what happens to you, no matter what you have to go through, no matter what comes against you, you can say that. At the end of the day, evil will not prevail. It will not win. God will preserve me. He's my keeper. All evil, that word means evil, bad, malignant, misery, so forth. He shall preserve your soul, your life, the inner part of you, to be absent from this body. Well, what's going to happen then? It's to be present with the Lord. Your spirit goes straight to Him. I mean, He's got you covered. And by the way, I hadn't forgot about your body. You're going to get a new one through resurrection power. He preserves. He keeps. It doesn't matter if a shark ate you and you got scattered over the Atlantic. He's going to resurrect it. He's going to cause all that to come back together like putting shavings of metal in with sawdust and running a magnet over it. All that metal will come right up to that magnet. In your book, in his book, all your members are written. Through resurrection power, if you've been incinerated, no matter what's happened, he's not going to forget where you are or not be able to resurrect your body and give you a new glorified body. That's one of the promises on which we stand as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, He preserves your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out. That word means to exit or depart. Like when they were leaving, after they've been in the festival there at the temple, when they headed home, the one that beyond the hills that they were going to, who would be their help, well, He's going to preserve him when they leave and they head back home on their pilgrimage. Like Mike and Teresa, they're going to be flying to Oklahoma. You know, He's going to be with them here. He's going to be with them there. Like our team that left for Guatemala this past Tuesday. The Lord is with them here. He's with them there. And the same is true for you. You're going out and you're coming in to enter or to gather in. And from this time forth, which means now and even forevermore. So these truths, when you put them all together, it's really reassuring that the upward look of faith, knowing God is your helper, the declaration of God's created power, He made heaven and earth, and the power of His Word will be there to provide, protect, heal, whatever you're needing. And you can be confident in His watch care over you, because He watches over His people. It's always astounded me to consider the fact that God loves me like He loves His Son Jesus. We don't struggle with God loving Jesus, do we? But the Bible says He loves you the way He loves Jesus. You're in Christ. He sees Jesus in you and you in Jesus. The benefits that are Jesus are the benefits that belong to you now. That's the kind of watch care He has over your life. You're His people. I remember my first mission trip to Nigeria in 1983. Before we left, they called our team in, and we were made honorary chiefs of the Igbo tribe in Nigeria, West Africa. And they gave us a shuka to wear, and I've got a chieftain fan. I pulled that thing out on Mickey a time or two, but it don't work here like it works in Africa. But it's indicative that it means that I'm their people. They've received me and accepted me as their people. I'm their people. Well, we're His people, the sheep of His pastor. You and I together, we're brothers and sisters. He's our keeper, preserves us. So this is a happy song, you know. This is an awesome song reminding us of how blessed we are to be a people of God. Now, as New Testament, New Covenant believers, there's a hill we look to for sure today where we're reminded of where our help comes from. It's called Golgotha. We look up and we see Jesus on that cross, knowing that as He died there, we received the promise of eternal life, reconciliation with God. Who would look up the last couple of verses of the book of Jude for me and stand and read it? Who'd like to do that for me? Raise your hand. Come on, somebody do it for me. Come on, huh? Thank you, Kayla. Bill, you got it. Go ahead. Bill beat you to it. There he is. Oh, well, you...
Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. He's able to keep us from stumbling. Our foot don't have to be moved either. Through Jesus Christ, keep our soul. Jesus was lifted up on a tree. Then He was lifted up from the tomb. Then He was lifted up. He ascended to the throne. He's our ultimate anthem and song of ascents now. The ascended Lord. And that's where our help comes from. Almighty God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that we've covered in this song of ascents is summed up and found in Him. Now, and forevermore, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask our altar workers to come and be available to pray for anyone who may need prayer here tonight. Father, we thank you for this time in your word tonight. Lord, there's probably not a one of us in this room that haven't had times, and maybe even in these last few days, when we've looked at something that we had to face or seemed to be headed into, where we began to wring our hands and wonder, how am I going to find the help I need? And in our frailty, we too quickly forget that our help comes from you. So I would ask tonight, for those who need that help tonight, they would find it from you. Give them the faith to have that upward look in this moment, to come forward and join hands with these in the altar. Come into your presence through prayer in the name of Jesus and receive the help that comes from the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, in the middle of this very hot week, when these gathered here could have been in so many different places, that they chose to be here tonight. I ask you to bless them for the step of faith, for the giving of their time, and the giving of their attention to your word, and the sacrifice of praise during worship tonight. I pray you'd bless them for that. Bless them for having been here. And Lord, we've just read that you preserve us and you keep us when we go out. And we're about to go out from this place tonight. And so I decree and declare over our life that you are preserving, keeping, and watching over us as we go. And when we enter into our homes upon arrival there, it will be the same then as well, because you don't sleep, you don't slumber, and you're committed to your people. I so thank you for that tonight. Take a moment and just thank Him for that. Just thank Him for it. Lord, bless these gathered here tonight with the peace and power of your Holy Spirit. May heaven invade earth through their passion for you and their ministry for you, I ask, in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer, feel free to come forward during this time. You are dismissed. And try to share an encouraging word with someone before you leave here tonight. Thanks for being here. God bless you.